no surprises there, Muhammad. And you know, if there is an idea for them to whip up a World War III scenario, which is possible. I mean, the Israelis would love to turn southern Lebanon into a parking lot, and certainly they have the weaponry to do it. You know, would they be able to get away with it under cover of an Iranian false flag or something? I mean, is this the big surprise that has been alluded to by this guy Joseph Biden or Colin Powell got on Meet the Press and said there's going to be a big event around the time of the inauguration? And so, you know, why don't they do you know, sow the seeds in advance of these actions? I mean, if you go by their MO, they often tell you what they're going to be doing. Why? Because they want it to be no surprise, so people accept it. And you know as well as I do, lately, the level of outrageous things going on in the world, if you were to do any one of the things I've seen happen in the last year, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, the whole world would be in an uproar. But there's so many now that you're going from one massive nonsense to another, and you don't even have time to digest the last one before a new one hits.
Well, of course, the whole world has been soaked, Darrell, and this is why, you know, it's very important for people, as you said, in the United States, they mustn't allow themselves to be disarmed and soft-soaked. The West has been soft-soaked here. There was a time in the UK where the scenes we saw in Greece, you would have seen here. They would have been up on the streets and petrol bombing and throwing over cars and knocking seven bells out of the police in anger. And the British people today are just the most lethargic group. I mean, I'm ashamed to stand among them, to be honest, Darrell. I mean, but I'm not going to try and do a one-man protest either, for that matter. But I grew up as a boy watching people do precisely that kind of thing I was just describing, and they weren't frightened of being arrested or going to jail. Now everybody's frightened of getting a criminal history, because, of course, when I was growing up, a criminal history wouldn't stop you from getting a job. But now they do a check before you go for a job in the UK, and it lasts for 25, 30 years. They've got everybody on fear.
Yep.
Fear of not having money, fear of not having a job. Well, hey, that's all right to fear that, but there ain't going to be an economy and there ain't going to be any jobs if you don't stand up. The people of the UK have to stand up, as does the rest of the world for that matter. But the Americans at the moment are probably the best placed people in the world to bring about change, but change we can believe in. But it's not going to come from Barmy Barry and the rest of these lunatics with this Judeo-Nazi mindset of, well, let's murder a few people over here and then tell the rest of America that we're going to save them from it so that they think we're great.
Well, you know, the demystification, the they live reality is beginning to take hold with a lot of people. I've been getting correspondences from a lot of new listeners that are saying, you know, I saw your information some time ago, but it's finally sunk in, and holy smokes, I can't believe I see all this now. Where was I? I can't believe it, but I see it now. I see it. You got those glasses on. They live. They're all around us, and they're doing this. And it's really a powerful feeling of well, first it's frightening once you see this for real, Muhammad. But then it empowers you because for the first time you finally realize what is going on. You know.
Oh yeah, it's a power, all right. It's a tremendous power, and we welcome all the new members of the audience with the new glasses, and we extend that welcome from all the old timers out there who've been wearing the glasses and have probably got contact lenses made now. It's wonderful to have new people coming and to be waking up at this stage now. It's good to know that that's still being done, and it explains why sometimes we have to go back and cover things that maybe we did 3 years ago or 3.5 years ago, because there are new people coming, and that's a good sign, and they're seeing through these things. There is a genuine awakening going on. We're not at the critical mass for change, but I think that critical mass is getting closer every day, Darrell, and one day that critical mass is going to be hit, and there'll be an explosion of light around the world.
Well, I think they are worried, and I, you know, you said this a couple of shows ago. When they lit the fuse to this nightmare, knowing full well that the system was coming apart at the seams and there was nothing in the long term they were going to be able to do about it, so they, you know, they chucked it in and said, yeah, we're just going to pick a date and send this thing into free fall. They did not realize, or maybe they did, but had no choice, that once you light that fuse, the damage and the problems that come from it are not always, you know, planned. You can't know exactly how this is going to finish. And in fact, they had no way of knowing the effectiveness of programs like French Connection or this guy Rye Dawson or Ognier or so many others who are out there, or Wake Up From Your Slumber. I mean, the amount of information that has been pouring out around the world about this, Muhammad, has really thrown a wild card in their planning, and now there's no way they can tell what's going to happen and what isn't. There's just no way.
Of course, as we've explained to people many times now, prior to the internet, the intelligence services could control the mighty Wurlitzer, and in fact, controlled it very effectively.
Yeah.
Disappear people, kill stories, the whole lot very easily. This technological shift brought a new paradigm into the world, which wasn't foreseen in the protocols. How could they? They had no idea what silicon was and the power of the internet. And so, you know, such a huge amount of resource, thanks to the bubble, the internet bubble, and the dot-com bubble, and everybody wanting to get involved. So much money was thrown at actually creating this piece of technology in the world based on nuclear war survival technology. Technology you just can't get rid of. Once it's there, it's just so powerful in that it's built to resist the effects of nuclear war. We must never forget that. This all came out of nuclear weapons programs. People saw an opportunity, and they didn't grasp what the level of openness, the glasnost, which was going to come. And then when you were starting to put this message out, and I challenge anybody to go back to 2003 and see who was actually saying Zionism, who was actually saying Lubavitch. There just wasn't.
In fact, I remember the first time I said Rothschild, I had people email me say they're going to kill you for that. And I said, well, you know, to hell with them. And I remember getting a note sent to me from Andrew over in, you know, and at the time I only knew him as Anonymous Andrew. And he was Anonymous Andy because he was afraid of being killed by the Rothschilds. And we worked together on publishing the Rothschild timeline, which he did a great job on. And that went out as a Daryl Bradford Smith, Andrew, Anonymous Andy document. But once I had talked about it long enough and I still was breathing, people felt emboldened, Muhammad. They said, well, geez, you know, he's still here, he's still breathing. And all of a sudden you saw Rothschild investigations happening, and they started sending me more information. Andrew started doing more work on a book. And then we moved on to the Lubavitch and talked about what they were doing. And it basically grew out of the fact that they didn't know what to do about me. And they figured I was marginal enough that I would never get great traction anyway.
Well, they wouldn't even be worried about the traction. The point was, Dal, that they had to find ways of trying to control your message, which is why, you know, your home IT's been sabotaged so often, your phone lines have been sabotaged so often, your internet site has been sabotaged so often, the files have all went missing, do you remember that one?
And oh, yeah.
People around the world had to send them back into you. They've tried all sorts of tricks, because the thing about the intelligence services, their job is to control. That you control and to demonstrate they can switch this stuff off. And they've obviously spent a lot of money, a lot of resources, and they didn't get there quick enough. I think that eventually they'll work out some techniques for controlling things, but by then this cat is not only out the bag, it's on the bus and it's left town, Daryl.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too, Muhammad. We've gone over an hour and 20 minutes here, my friend. We talked about a lot of stuff, and you know, I got to say that the information we've been putting out lately, you know, while there's so many things we could talk about, we could go into Madoff again, and there's a whole other story to do there. And in fact, I've got some good news for you on Pacifica Public Radio, which Pacifica Radio is full of disinformation artists, I got to say. A guy called in a discussion by Madoff. It was about Madoff getting away with robbing all of the Jews and all this. And a guy called in on that show and read the paper. Now, this is to a huge audience of people. Read the story you wrote about Madoff and opened up a whole new line of discussion as a result of that article. And so, again, we don't know where some of these stories that we put out end up. They go everywhere. They take on a life of their own, especially when they ring true. And so much of our work is being proven to have been right. So, you know, in the beginning, a lot of said, you know, you guys are nutters, and, you know, you still have places like RBN who won't even sign on to this because they're really working for the CIA and the bad guys. But the rest of the country is signing on. They said, hey, this guy, the stuff makes sense, Muhammad. We nailed it in the first instance, and now because we've just kept pounding that drum, there's no way of denying these truths. It's factual. It is Judeo-Nazism. It is Zionist Jews that are behind the world's problems. And if we were to stop them dead in their tracks, our problems would be eliminated overnight.
And there's no doubt about that, Darrell. We have been loyal to the truth, and by being loyal to the truth and struggling to bring as much truth as we can to light and make it available, everyone who's tested the research which we've put out there, and I think that we've got a discerning audience out there. They've checked things out for themselves. They know it's the truth. We've come through the fear factor, the glasses are on, and the next thing, Darrell, we just got to roll up the sleeves and get ready.
Well, I shudder with the idea of what get ready means, and I really do. You know, I urge everybody who has the legal right to get a firearm to get one. You know, there are a lot of... I want to bring this up before we close here, Muhammad. That BART system shooting, the man that got shot in the back, murdered, assassinated... on that subway platform in Oakland, the BART system gets their training in Israel by Israel special terrorist force people. Now, if you don't know who else they've trained, they trained the assassins that killed that man on the subway platform on the tube in London on 7/7. The young Menendez, what is his name, Mendez man, the electrician. The same training that this BART guy did, and back to Israel again. We get the same connection again, and I looked at the man's name, and I'd like somebody possibly to confirm that murderer that shot that young man has a name that seems to be Jewish to me. He may, in fact, even have done that to take attention away from what these criminals are doing in Gaza. Who knows? You know, so many of these people's actions don't surprise me. But that was just an assassination. And then, of course, what are they going to do with it? Are they going to send agent provocateurs into Oakland and have them start, you know, street battles so they can declare martial law in this area and get people softened up to that idea? Who knows what's coming next? But that's something to keep on your, keep on your desktop and keep reading it, because that could spell the end of this phase of their activity and turn the next phase of martial law on everybody. Who knows? I think it's a real possibility that this could ignite. Look what killing somebody in Greece did, and how that turned into the American government will not be like the Greek government. They will not let people go running around the streets doing that. They'll declare that martial law that they wanted. They'll start shooting people dead in the streets. And they'll get the things that they've been pushing for, which is to start rounding people up. And so I urge people to take a good look at what happened in Oakland. What do you think?
Well, Darrell, I've never been to the United States, but all I can tell you is that if I did go out there now, having seen things like the murder of a young man at a train station,
by the police, shot in the back, and the murder of an innocent man on his way to work in the United Kingdom, also shot whilst held face down.
Yep.
Two things that's taught me is, one, don't let yourself be arrested in the States, and two, shoot them before they manage to turn you and shoot you in the back. You know, I was brought up, Darryl, where one of my all-time favourite films is Big Country. I think it's a fantastic film, you know.
Yeah.
There's a scene in that where he bursts into the party at the house.
Yep.
And says, hey, why don't you shoot me in the back? I was brought up to believe that Americans believed that shooting a man in the back was the most cowardly act that a man could perform.
That's right.
And here we have an unarmed man face down on the ground, shot in a way which in the 1950s and 60s was considered abhorrent to the American public.
Yeah. And they're not even leveling charges yet. They're going to study it. Oh, man. You know, how far we've fallen, Muhammad. Anyway, I want to thank you on this Friday night, taking time out of your busy life to spend time with us on the French Connection. As usual, very powerful information. I want everybody to know we have more interviews coming up. Hopefully, Leila Shahid will be coming up. PayPal is down. No PayPal. They've frozen my account. So you go to that if you want to help out the French Connection. Going to be hard to do. It's just more of the same, Muhammad, more of the same. Anyway, I'm going to try to see what the heck I can do about that. Who knows what I can do about it and what I can't. Anyway, until the next time, I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and I want to urge you all to take care of your families. Get a firearm if you're able and some ammunition. Get some food stocks in your home. Tell everybody about the French Connection if you can, please. But we need more listeners. We need more people putting this on chat rooms and blog spots. IamTheWitness.com should be on everyone's lips, because this is the place to get the pure story, the real story. And until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, my thanks to Muhammad Rafik and to you listeners. Be well. Bye-bye now.